Winston Peters is currently with us. Ngamahi nui kia koe, te rangatira, motuwa o Matariki. It's great to acknowledge another year's gone by. A satisfying year for you and your whānau, Chief.
Yeah, well, you could say that, but I suppose it's just been an extraordinary busy year, and here we are, almost at the beginning of July.
Are you a Matariki fan? I mean, I spoke to Shane yesterday. He says, yeah, I think we are. New Zealand first. We'll support Matariki being a public holiday going forward. Is that you too, Winston?
Well, you know something. The planting season for this country, as you know, depends where you are. And if you're up north, it is totally different from down south. And if you're on the west coast, say, of Dargaville, the seasons there used to start far earlier than the rest of Northland. So it's a different thing, but it's not at the point in time. It's on based on the stars. But what it could be in terms of the planting season is very different. So we're so flat out, mate. I don't know what we're going to do this weekend. It's got, because Parliament's sitting in urgency today.
Yeah, what are the main pieces of mahi that you'll be working on today, urgently, and why?
Well, we've got a whole lot of backlog of work to do, but also the thing is that Parliament's in recess next week because of school holidays and things like that. So it's been a very difficult last five and the next two are very difficult because of the breakup and the unusual time of the year. There's nothing special about our work. We've just got to get it done.
Do you think we're overusing, or the coalition is overusing urgency? It makes people nervous when you say things are deemed urgent.
I don't think we can say we're overusing urgency. We've barely used this year at all. And here we are in the middle of the year. If that was sort of to come out and sound like an unusual trend, you could say that. But I think it's too early to come to that conclusion, even from inside the Parliament and inside the government myself. I think it's just too early.
Some said it was overused in the first 100 days.
Well, if they thought that, they should ask themselves this question. How come they didn't say a word about what was going on when our economy was blowing out by billions and billions of dollars, all of which we've got to pay back? It was massive. What did they say about the lockdown for 4 weeks, for 4 months, that shut so many businesses down and which we are still recovering from? It's all those billions of dollars of the cost. It's like there are no consequences if you favour a certain party and everybody else is to blame. And look, let's be neutral about it. We know this economy is in this very bad shape. And we know that this economy is going to be turned around. We know that we came in for the last 3 months at 0.01. This is a shocking outcome. That means we're just virtually in recession, so to speak. Now, we have to turn this thing around, and the only way we can do that is by getting in there, putting the hard yards, doing the work, making the changes that have to be made, and get on with it. There's no shortcut here.
No pain, no gain. Is that the message that we should be sharing among Māori communities? Because politically it feels as though all the news has been bad news. People being marched down the street, prices going up left, right and centre, a lot of turmoil environmentally. But are you still satisfied that we are heading in the right direction here?
Yes, I am. We're doing all we can to make sure that does happen. Look, we went to the opening of the Kōpū Wharf, which is a great, exciting aquaculture utility there in Coromandel. Did we see it in the mainstream media there? Not one of them bothered to turn up. Every good news story, they just shut down. It's appalling. But there were the local Māori, Buddy Mikari was there, and Ngāti Maru, all set to go with this mussel farming utility wharf processing place. Just incredible. And we're going to have about two or three of those in the Coromandel as well as we go forward. But all the good news is just shut out by the mainstream media, who's in the Bitterman campaign because their favourite political party lost the election no matter how lousy they were. And boy, they were lousy between 2023 and 2023. Things got out of control completely.
Well, we were challenged by the COVID situation. That came at a cost that we're still unravelling, are we not?
It's still unravelling because we had the second longest lockdown in the whole world. And the cost of that is still being felt, and we're still trying to get things back. it's hard to turn a business around when it's been shut down that way. And I saw all these people who had lost their 35 years of sometimes of their business, their staff, all their savings, having to sell their house, being gaslit out of the system because of COVID. When I say COVID, it's a COVID response. And so when we ask for a full-scale inquiry as to what happened, they try to shut that down as well. Look, I've just been in this game for too long to put up the kind of, how shall I say it, deceitful publicity that certain political parties engage in Parliament. Look at the Greens. They're an absolute mess. Where's Darlene Tana? Why is the taxpayer paying for her? She's not been in Parliament for 100 days. This goes on and on and on. And the party mind isn't turning up in Parliament the other day to the debates. What's happening here? I'll tell you what's happening. Because they're not politicians, mate. They're protesters and radicals. But they're not politicians who know how to do the hard mark in a political way to make progress for their people.
Tēnā koe. Seems half the country attempted to go to Australia. Have you ever been?
I started there as for BHP Newcastle. And on the blast furnace floor, it was one hell of a dangerous job. And everybody had a burn on their face. And I thought, this is not a great place to be. And then I went and worked in the Snowy Mountains as a second-class tunneler, 11 miles underground or through the ground, in the Snowy Bend, in the Snowy River, so to speak. You can be in Island Bend Tunnel. And I stayed at a place called Ginnabone. I made enough money to be able to go to law school for a year and a half in that short time.
I've never seen you without a three-piece suit. So there you go. overalls.
Mate, I used to be the delegate for the Labourers Union in Auckland.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, half these guys are looking out of Parliament and they don't know what a worker looks like. But I used to be the delegate for the most lowly union in New Zealand.
Well, do you think more parliamentarians need to have pushed a wheelbarrow or at least had some experience of what it's like for working people?
You couldn't be more right, Dale. You couldn't be more right, and including for the audience that listened to us today, they know that half these people wouldn't know work if they fell over it.
A couple of things. The first is the tabling of the abuse in faith-based institutions and state care. This is a big kaupapa, and it's affected so many. And I touched on the fact that perhaps some of these ram raiders are actually the grandkids of those who were incarcerated or were thrown into boys' homes 40, 50 years ago. The ongoing effects of those actions of yesteryear we're feeling now and perhaps we'll still be feeling in years to come.
Well, I've not heard anybody make that connection before, that the people are the grandchildren of the people in these homes who were abused. But the inquiry has been made. It's coming out, and we have to respond to it. I have to tell you, sadly, I heard on Radio New Zealand this morning a very dismal response claiming that charter schools is a prototype for this sort of behaviour. And I thought, this has got to be awful. People are so philosophically disconnected, they make that claim. It's like saying all our boarding schools are prototypes for this behaviour. No, they're not. And I wish some people would stick to the true sense of sympathetic politics people who abuse come from and not misuse them the way I heard this morning on Morning Report. Just dreadful.
And, of course, you agree to disagree, which is one of the hallmarks of this arrangement. So we're talking about an in-depth or a Royal Commission of Inquiry into our COVID response. You're dissatisfied with the parameters set for the original investigation. And is that where it sits now? You just say, hey, well, I'm not agreeing.
Well, they actually wanted to get one course of action. We said, no, we're the ones that campaigned out there. We don't agree with this Commission of Inquiry. The terms of reference are utterly inadequate. The people who are on it are not up to the job. They are caught by the fact that one of them, seriously, was advising the government all the way through on the COVID responses. So everything was perfect. And so we just said, look, no, well, you can have your way, but we're going to disagree. And we're going to start out the inquiry we want with new commissioners and the different and much more expanded terms of reference, including getting some overseas experts in. And that's going to start in late October, early November. And we'll get to the truth the way we promised in the campaign. So we did it without having a blazing row about things. So that's what the clause was in there for.
Te Lakoe, Winston. All the best to you and your whānau as we pause briefly tomorrow to acknowledge all of our good fortune. Even though times are difficult, we're still pretty lucky to call this place home. So all the best to you and yours, eh?
Thank you very much. You're quite right. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you. Winston Peters with us, Foreign Affairs Minister, New Zealand First Leader. It's 8 o'clock as we swing across to Scotty Morrison, has our Newsy Te Reo Māori.